For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's 8 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game tonight.
Let's keep it going now.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live in the Key Studios. We have confirmed, as always, I was right. Joe Medwick, the last NL player to win the Triple Crown, 1937. There you go. So that's why I'm the best, Dom. Now, you know, Google search. Google's in my head. And not because of like Neuralink or anything like that. It's just up there. It's just up there. All right, let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. That's Atlanta's Ford dealer. And bring in my good friend Mark Packer of the ACC Network, host of ACC PM. You can check out Pac-Man on ACC Network Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. It's one of my preferred shows while working on my rundown. They got a new cast of crew. I'm going to miss Taylor Tannenbaum being on most of the week, but they got a rotating cast of characters and look forward to seeing that. So let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, bring in my man Mark Packer. Pac-Man, how you doing?
He dropped for, give me 2 seconds.
He dropped. All right. That's all right. We will continue. Spencer Schwellenbach pitched a nice bottom of the first inning. Braves trying to figure this out. All right, now we go to the WadeFord.com hotline, bring in Mark Packer. Mark Packer, how are you doing, my man?
You got a Braves update? I mean, you lead me in with a Braves update. Can you not talk about my mediocre San Francisco Giants? I mean, you're giving me a Braves update? Of course you are. I'm doing great.
I wasn't going to speak about where San Fran is, but, you know, we'll get to that later. What I do want to speak about is the state of the ACC, and this opening game kind of threw it on its head for some people's perspective. Now, being here in Atlanta, a lot of us believed in Georgia Tech, and it's as much about belief in Brent Key and belief in Georgia Tech as it is the questions that FSU had, and whether or not I went on record and say they should not be a top 10 team. I do not believe in DJU and all that stuff. But this was a big win for the Tech program, and now the ACC feels a little bit more open maybe than a lot of people had believed it would be before this game.
Abe, I tell you, Georgia Tech, first of all, a fantastic coaching job. Brent Key's done an amazing job, and again, now 5-0 against ACC-ranked opponents since he's taken over, and he took over kind of a mess, quite frankly. But, man, being an underdog, they're right at home. I thought the quality of the game Saturday was the thing that was so remarkable. It felt like a middle of October, early November quality game. And for that to be a week zero game, both teams playing at a really high level. Again, I was just really impressed with Georgia Tech because I didn't know what that defense was going to do. And listen, offensive line, really good. Haynes King's a dude. They got great wide receivers, terrific back. And offensively, I thought they're going to be fine. But, you know, are they going to be able to tackle the man with the football? Stopping the run last year was ridiculous. And you watch that opening drive where Florida State runs for 58 yards. You're like, oh, yeah, this could be a long day. But the adjustments that were made are just really a great coaching job. Really impressed with Georgia Tech. Florida State's defensive line was disappointing. Their linebacker play, really disappointing. They're going to have to get that thing fixed one way or the other. I thought Georgia Tech would take that thing late. And, again, I'm not sure anybody was going to sit there and say, hey, Florida State's not going to win the game. But it was just a great win for Georgia Tech. And you mentioned about the ACC. Listen, I've been covering this stuff forever and have grown up in the ACC area. I don't remember a time ever, Abe, where there's so many teams legitimately can make the case that they can get to Charlotte, win a title, and punch their ticket to the college football playoff. You know, for years and years, it was either Florida State or then it was Clemson, and they dominated. But, I mean, it goes a lot deeper now. I mean, I think a team like NC State, given what they've got coming back, of course, we'll know more about them next week when they play Tennessee here in Charlotte. Virginia Tech, with their schedule, with 80-some percent coming back in terms of their production, they're going to be a problem. A team like, you know, obviously Miami, we've been talking about them for 20 years. Are they going to finally show up? It looks like, at least on paper, their offensive defensive lines are great. Cam Ward's a dude. So, again, I think there's a lot of teams that can win this ACC championship. And, again, it's only week zero heading to week one. And we found out a little bit about Georgia Tech. You got to throw them in the mix, even though their schedule's brutal. But I think the ACC race is going to be completely wide open.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of these teams involved in big week one games coming up. But I want to talk real quick about that SMU-Nevada game. SMU, to me, feels a lot like Georgia Tech did last year. They have a quarterback that most of the nation doesn't know about in Preston Stone. I don't think they can bring it consistently. I don't think they can really contend to be an upper echelon team in the ACC. But I think they can be a pest. And that's kind of how I viewed Georgia Tech last year. I mean, you look at Tech, and they beat Miami. They beat UNC. But then they lost to Boston College, and we don't need to talk about the Bowling Green game. I think SMU can be a pest. And if you're not careful, they can get you. We didn't really see that Saturday in week zero against Nevada. I still have a little bit of belief, though, that they can ruin someone's day.
I agree. Rhett Lashley knows the league after time that he spent at the University of Miami. I think offensively, much like Georgia Tech, they're going to score a bunch of points. I don't know if they have the depth on the defensive front over a course of the year. But, you know, Abe, look at who they play. Or maybe more importantly, look at who they don't play. You know, they're not going to see Miami. They're not going to see Clemson. They're not going to see NC State. They're not going to see Virginia Tech. They're not going to see Georgia Tech. I mean, all those teams I just rattled off, you could make the case that, hey, that team may win the ACC championship. SMU sees none of them. So, you know, I think they're going to win a bunch of games. I don't think I would put them in the category of, hey, they're one of the three or four best teams in the conference. They're going to score. They're going to be a fun team to watch. You know, a new addition to the league that gives you another toy to play with, if you will. I think they're going to win a bunch of games, but they were very fortunate to win Saturday night. They were lousy against Nevada. And, again, this R.J. Maryland, for folks who haven't seen him play, guy's kind of a hybrid tight end wide receiver. He's a Sunday player. He made the game-winning touchdown. He's a dude. They've got some receivers, and Preston Stone is a very good quarterback. So I expect him to score a bunch. You know, they can stick their nose in somebody's business, but when you look at their schedule – you will realize all these teams that they will not see in the ACC, do not be surprised to see them win a bunch of games.
It is Mark Packer of the ACC Network joining us tonight on the WadeFord.com Highline. Interesting week because, obviously, the ACC was front and center in week zero. And, quite frankly, most of the big games here in week one, with respect to a couple of others that maybe we'll get to on the back end, do involve ACC teams. And so I want to run down the list here and Clemson and Georgia. I think we all know what Georgia potentially is looking at again this year. Clemson, though, is a different story, and I'm very interested to hear how you think things could go. I have lost complete faith in Dabo, but behind the transfer portal stuff, behind the NIL stuff, and obviously now most recently refusing to take calls on a call-in show. It's a stunning declaration. What do you think we can actually find out this weekend against Clemson, considering it is Georgia they are facing here in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
So you don't think Dabo can coach anymore? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't think he can build a championship program, no.
Really?
Really?
I think you're crazy.
I know you do.
I think you're nuts, but that's all right. Listen, Cade Klubnik last year was so wildly inconsistent. You give me a team in the country who's got a wildly inconsistent quarterback, and I'll show you a team that's going to lose some games they probably shouldn't. Clemson last year went, 9-4? I mean, I guess the world's falling apart. They didn't get the 10 wins. They lost an overtime game to Florida State, a double overtime game to Miami, and they still won 9 games. They will be the dog against Georgia. Georgia probably the best team in the country in all likelihood until we see anybody play. Kirby Smart's built a beast, and, you know, again, I don't know why anybody would pick against them until proven otherwise. But Dabo Swinney hasn't forgotten how to coach. They just need some breaks. They need some consistency. They also need some wide receivers that can stay healthy. Their wide receiver core last year was completely decimated. So you throw a wildly inconsistent quarterback with basically third and fourth string wide receivers, and you're going to struggle offensively. But again, I got to see it. And, you know, from that perspective, that needs to be determined if Cade Klubnik can be that guy. I'm not telling you he's Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence, because he's not. But I think if they get solid play at quarterback and stay relatively healthy, wide receiver, there's no reason in the world why Clemson can't win the ACC championship this year, punch their ticket to the college football playoff. I don't even think that's a reach.
He might be Browns Deshaun Watson. From what I'm hearing up in my old stomping grounds in Cleveland, some of them are calling for like DTR or Jameis Winston to start the season. So I don't know what's going on there.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about as a college
player.
Nobody's going to confuse DJU with Jameis Winston, and nobody's going to confuse Cade Klubnik with Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson. But, I mean, you got to have consistent play at quarterback. I don't care if we're talking about high school, football, college, or the pros. If you tell me your quarterback is just okay and wildly inconsistent, I'll show you a team that's probably going to be hovering around 500, and that's just the world that we live in. So Klubnik's got to play better. There's no question about that. You know, big-time decorated player coming out of Texas and all that good stuff. But, you know, if they get solid quarterback play, Clemson's going to be a tough out. They're going to be very good defensively.
And you talk about that quarterback play. This next game that we're going to discuss, I have some real concerns about. That's Miami and Florida. And a lot of people are very high on Miami, very high on the talent in Miami, and I think that's a fair statement. I think Restrepo is one of the best receivers that no one knows about in college football, and they're going to find out. I don't buy all the hype that Cam Ward received this offseason. The discussion of going into the NFL, I never got. The potential that he's the top quarterback out of the portal, I'm not sure I bought it. I saw a little bit of flash out there in the Pac-12 last year, but not enough consistency. And it feels like for Miami, it's all going to be about him, because I do think they have a good enough squad to at least compete for a playoff spot. But I just don't know if I buy the quarterback play. I've already been let down by believing a quarterback transfer into Miami and Derek King a couple years ago could take them to the next level. I know you're going to joke about Miami being back, and I just don't know if Cam Ward gets them there.
Well, like everything else, I need to see it too. I mean, we've been covering the ACC forever, and I think every April and May and June, we always have the conversation about, is this the year the U is back? And if I had a dollar for every time I've heard either Texas or Miami's back, I'd have my villa in Italy. I mean, we've been waiting on this for a long. When Miami joined the ACC 20 years ago, we all just assumed that every single year we were going to get Florida State and Miami in the ACC championship game when we had divisions, and we to this day have never seen that game for an ACC championship. Miami, as a matter of fact, only made it to the ACC title game one time, and that was a few years ago when Mark Richt got beat 38-3. So I think Cristobal has built the team the right way through transfer portal and recruiting on the offensive and the defensive line. I think, again, on paper, I like what they have done, but I got to see it first. I mean, Mario Cristobal basically has been a 500 coach at Miami. You get the whole game with Napier. It feels like the loser of that game, I'd hate to be the loser of that game at the Swamp Saturday. There's a lot riding on it. It's a kind of a tone setter to me, really, for both programs. And, you know, if you told me, hey, that Florida's going to win the game by two touchdowns, I'd go, well, there we go again. I've seen this act with Miami. You told me Miami's going to win the game by two touchdowns, I'd say, well, here we go again. Billy Napier's going to be out of a job at Florida. So I think of all the games this weekend, even more so than Clemson, Georgia, I think Miami and Florida actually has more on the line than anything else. I expect Georgia to have a great year even if they lose. I expect Clemson to have a great year even if they lose. But the loser of Miami and Florida feels shaky moving forward. And, again, we'll see where it goes. Mario Cristobal's got to be able to do a better job coaching, I think, on game day. We saw what happened last year, that Georgia Tech game, which is still one of the all-timers. But I think talent-wise, you could probably make the case that Miami's the most talented team in the ACC.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people. For me, it's the quarterback, and you're right, we do need to see it. And we'll get a chance at 3:30 on Saturday. It's Mark Packer of the ACC Network. Look, we're running out of time. I was going to ask you about a couple of other big games, but with respect to the topic, I need to get your thoughts on it, and if you don't want to share, that's fine. But knowing you, I do feel like maybe you have some thoughts on how Deion Sanders has been handling the media up there in Colorado.
You know, everybody's different, right? Everybody's got to build their program differently. I do think there's a thing called respect that you got to have, and it's a two-way street. And if he feels disrespected, you know what? As the head coach, you got to pick and choose your spots. I know people have ripped him sideways either way, one way or the other. I think, though, when you're building a program, and Deion has not reached the finish line at Colorado, let's be honest on that front, I think there's a way you handle it. I wouldn't have done that, but you know what? I'm not the head coach of Colorado. So, you know, he has his reasons to do whatever he wants. I've always liked him. I always found him refreshing from his approach. There's some things he probably did with the media this go around, and I probably, if I had a chance to get on, tap him on the shoulder, I'd say, Deion, let's not go down that road. Let's go another route until we start winning some games and get this thing rolling a little bit before you want to act that way. But again, he's entitled. It's his program. It's his name. It's his reputation. And whatever he wants to do, he can let it rip. And off to the races he goes. I hope he has a nice year, but they need to do some again, everybody jumped on that bandwagon early last year. And when he started losing, I've never seen the media jump off a team's bandwagon faster than they did Deion Sanders last year.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Mark Packer, ACC Network, real quick, we'll get the plug in. ACC PM, as I mentioned a couple of times, I love sitting down and watching it while I work on my rundown for the next day's show. 4-7 there on the ACC Network. And much to my dismay, and I know the bosses make their decisions, but I'm only going to get Taylor Tannenbaum on Tuesdays. You got a new schedule. Tom Luganville on Mondays. Taylor Tannenbaum Tuesdays. Justin Walters there Wednesday, Thursday. And then the whole crew joining on Friday, including Eric McClain, Eddie Royal, and E.J. Manuel. So a lot of great content there on ACCPM. Great content, but also great entertainment as well. Pack, I know we'll have you back on over the course of the football season, but thanks for joining me here tonight and give us a primer here on week one.
Hey, always a pleasure, and good luck to your Braves in the playoffs while my boys are on the couch watching.
I'll keep the updates coming your way. Don't worry about it. Appreciate it. It's Mark Packer.
You got it.
A good buddy of mine. I love listening to that guy. One of the greatest storytellers that I have ever heard. I mean, with all due respect, I have cried listening to him tell the same story like a fourth or fifth time. That he's got some good ones. So one day I need him to write a book. There you go. We do have a Braves update, by the way, speaking of Mark Packer teasing us. Michael Harris is back. We mentioned it, hitting a little bit lower in the lineup. Seemed like the perfect spot today because he went 424 feet, scoring Matt Olson a home run there in the second inning. Braves are up 2-0. 5 strikeouts for Spencer Schwellenbach through 2 innings. All right, when we come back, Tour Championship. I am very excited about going out there Thursday and Friday. Also on Sunday, Championship Sunday. A couple of different things I want to talk about. Really, really interested to see the new layout at the course. So we're going to do a little golf talk here on 92.9 The Game tonight. It's Abe Gordon in the Kia Studios till 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pace yourselves. It's going to be a crazy night.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here, live in the Kia Studios, rocking and rolling till 10 o'clock. Atlanta Braves up 2-0. I mentioned it going to break. Spencer Schwellenbach, 5 strikeouts in the first 2 innings. Pitch count's a little higher than I'd like it to be. Maybe find a way to get a couple of easy outs as opposed to having to go, K dudes up. But look, we're getting the job done so far. Michael Harris handing him the courtesy of a 2-0 lead, thanks to a 424-foot home run. So nice to see his hand not bothering him too much there on that big blast. So there you go. That's the update for the Atlanta Braves. We're going to be keeping an eye on this game, as we always do, throughout the night. And I'd like to see Schwelly. He's been so good in recent weeks and like to see that continue. He's kind of making an interesting discussion for what a playoff rotation would look like. And I think Max Fried kind of jumped back into that discussion a little bit with his last 2 outings. Same with Ronaldo Lopez. And then obviously we'll see Chris Sale tomorrow. But, I talked about it over the weekend. If you want any sort of open window for hope with the Atlanta Braves, the way that some of these guys are pitching, if you get into a playoff series, and look, we'll see it coming around the corner here again against the Phillies. But, if Ronaldo Lopez is going to do what he's done since coming back, if Max Fried rounds into form a little bit more like he was last night, if Chris Sale is doing what he's been doing, he's got, 13 straight starts of 2 or fewer earned runs? Chris Sale? And then now you got Schwellenbach, and I have to go back. How many good starts is it in a row for him? 5? 4? 5? 6? If you count tonight, and obviously he's got to finish it out tonight, but yeah. If you want a glimmer of hope for the Braves in the playoffs, it is this rotation. Because they are shutting down a lot of teams. And the bullpen's doing a pretty good job, too. The run that Rossell Iglesias is on is incredible. And so we'll see if Spencer Schwellenbach can stay hot through the middle innings of this game. But he got off to a good start. He's got 6 strikeouts now midway through the third. All right. Sometimes we talk about big events coming to Atlanta. And I know we've talked about the Atlanta Open, right? The tennis tournament. It normally serves as kind of a early lead up to the U.S. Open, which, of course, is being played right now. Of course, this year was the last edition of the Atlanta Open. It was kind of muffled in terms of the field because of the Olympics. Some of the top players who maybe would be at the Atlanta Open were obviously in Paris for the Olympics. You got the Atlanta Open. Obviously, we know about some of the big football games and SEC's championship games, stuff like that, Chick-fil-A kickoff, all that good stuff. But another big one that it just kind of creeps up on us every year. And NASCAR, too, by the way, is great to have here at Atlanta Motor Speedway twice a year. And another big one that just kind of creeps up on us is the Tour Championship. And I think it's incredible that Atlanta is the host to the final tournament of the year in the PGA Tour, the one that essentially decides the season-long winner. And which, with respect to the Olympic tournament this year, I think you can refer to it as golf's 5th major. I don't know how many tournaments are more prestigious to win throughout the course of the year outside of the 4 majors than the Tour Championship. And so that's what we're looking at here this coming week. And I am as excited as I've been in a number of years. Obviously, the Tiger year, which everyone forgets, I think Rory won the season long. They had a different system back then. But, I mean, Tiger coming down and winning it was incredible. But, you know, that kind of happened over the course of the weekend. I don't know if there was anticipation for Tiger making a run. I mean, there always is any tournament he's in, but it was a little bit different. I am really anticipating getting out to the course on Thursday and having a look around because they have essentially taken a year off at Eastlake. And with some limitation, we haven't seen the course. And I'm interested to see when I walk up there on Thursday, like, am I going to be like, whoa, that's not where that was last year? I mean, how different is the course going to be? I heard there's less trees. I've heard there's maybe bigger fairways. But, like, I don't even know if, like, where hole 10 was is where it still is. Like, I don't know if they redid everything. I mean, I knew where I was broadcasting from last year was, like, in a triangle around holes 11, 12, and 13, a green, a tee box, a fairway. We're kind of all in the middle. I have no idea if we're in, like, the Bermuda Triangle of the back nine or not. And so I'm really interested to see if it's noticeably different. I'm also interested to see how golfers approach it, a course that they're maybe not as familiar with as they have been in recent years. And I'm interested to see if, because normally you get to a golf course, Rice, and everyone has the same idea of how it should generally play. You want to hit your tee shot between here and here on the right side or on the left side. You want to do this. You're going to want to lay up. Are there different approaches to holes this year? And I don't mean like than previous hole, but like does golfer A, I'm going to try and drive this so I can lay up here. I'm going to try and lay up here so I can, you know, push one to the fairway with my approach. It's very interesting to see if we get a number of different approaches hole by hole. So I'm looking forward to it. Here's the other thing. Previous years, I haven't gotten anything from the pro shop. And Bunker has a shirt from the pro shop. He has more than one, but it's sharp, man. And if there's one thing I do like, it's a nice golf polo. I really do like the polo game. But they're expensive. And I'm trying to figure out, like, am I going to get something at the pro shop this year? Because those golf polos, like, I can get a normal one, like, on Amazon that looks good and feels good. You know, for $20, $30, these are not going to be $20 and $30. And the only difference is they have that little Tour Championship logo. But how much do I want to pay for that Tour Championship logo? The answer might be a lot. I'm obviously going to hit the clearance rack. Do they think they have a clearance rack in the pro shop? If they do, I'll find it. All right, so maybe they're too expensive. Like, do I go with a ball cap? Maybe something lightweight I could use as a running hat? Sweatproof and cooling, something like that? Yeah, maybe I'll find something like that. Or, like, do I just fully go cheap route and I'm like, well, I want something from the Tour Championship, but, like, I'm only going to spend $12, so here's a pair of socks. Or a belt for, like, $30. I'm going to do a golf belt.
I think you can splurge a little bit. That's okay.
I am awaiting what I assume is a check from my grandma from my birthday. And, you know, my mom will give me some money, and my grandma gives me some money, and they're always like, don't just spend it on bills. And I'm always like, but that's what I care about paying. And so maybe I do splurge a little bit. Maybe I splurge a little bit. Reminder, the Tour Championship's got an interesting setup because it is a season-ending tournament, which will essentially denote the champion of the PGA Tour this year. And so the scoring system's a little bit dramatic in terms of advantages given to the top players of the year. I will say this. I actually like the scoring system because I do think top golfers deserve massive advantages heading into the final tournament. I will also say this. I think it's way too weighted on what's happened the past couple of weeks because Keegan Bradley won the BMW Championship a week ago. He was like in 50th place. Now he's in fourth place and starts at 6 under. So I think getting a win last week and jumping from 50th to 4th is way too severe. I think they need to find a better way to weight these advantages week to week. It just doesn't make sense. I know they want to give a lot more bonus for winning in the FedEx Cup playoffs or whatever they call it now, but little too much for me. But Scottie Scheffler, after the year he's had, is going to start the tournament on Thursday at 10 under, right? Behind him at 8 under will be Xander Schauffele, Hideki Matsuyama at 7 under, the aforementioned Keegan Bradley at 6 under, at 5 under, Ludwig Åberg. And there's 30 golfers in the field, so those are the individual golfers at 5, 6, 7, 8, and 10 under that have the advantages. Then you get to a group of five guys at each of the next 4 under, 3 under, 2 under, 1 under, and then even. So Rory, Colin Morikawa, Wyndham Clark, Sam Burns, and Patrick Cantlay at 4 under. Sungjae Im, Sahith Tagala, Shane Lowry, Adam Scott, and Tony Finau at 3 under. And there are rumors that Shane Lowry was at the Midtown Colony Square Starbucks a couple days ago, according to one Drew Butler. At 2 under, you got Byung-Hung Ahn, Victor Hovland, Russell Henley, Ashke Bhatia, and Robert McIntyre. 1 under, Billy Horschel, Tommy Fleetwood, Sepp Straka, Matthew Pavone, and Taylor Pendrith. And then even par, Chris Kirk, Tom Hogue, Aaron Rye, Christian Bezuidenhout. That's not that. I'm not going to try that one. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I'm sorry. And Justin Thomas. So I actually do like the scoring. Like, I do think that, like, Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele should have massive advantages. And starting at 10 under and 8 under are a massive advantage. But I do think when you get a guy like Keegan Bradley who wins one tournament at the right time, goes from not even being in this field to having 6 under par, probably a bit too much for my liking. So we'll see how it plays out. But excited to be out there. Andy and Randy are going to be out there on Thursday and Friday. They're going to be at the Tito Stillhouse, followed by Dukes and Bell each day at the Landing on Thursday and Friday. I'm going to be out there Sunday solo at the Landing as well. So looking forward to that. All right, when we come back, you got an interesting pair of PM power rankings for you. One sports topic, one non-sports topic. We teased the non-sports topic already, of places to find a significant other. But the sports topic, equally as compelling. So we'll take a break here, come back on 92.9 The Game tonight and do the PM Power Rankings. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Pace yourselves. It's going to be a crazy night.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
.9 The Game tonight. Quick update. The Atlanta Braves still on to a 2-0 lead. Again, Spencer Schwellenbach's pitch count way up there. But he has held the Twins scoreless through three innings. We are now headed to the bottom of the fourth inning. The Braves 2-0 lead courtesy of a 2-run home run from Michael Harris. All right. I got some interesting stuff here, including a last-minute change on one of my power rankings. Not that Dom will know because he's got the rundown, but I had to think about it. So let's go ahead and get to it. This one's going to take a long time, so we'll dive right in the PM Power Rankings.
It's time for the PM Power Rankings on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so a couple of doozies given to me by Oren Romain last time out. My non-sports topic, which we'll get to, it might take some time. Top five places to find a significant other. I am single, so obviously this list is probably not an expert list, or else I would have, figured that out. But I want to start with a sports topic here, and it's my top five least favorite sports media personalities. And the list is filled obviously with guys you probably might assume that it would be. Number five, I had a late change. There's another guy that's so insufferable, I had to add him to the list. So at number five, Jason Whitlock. Yeah.
Thank you. So, because that was the name that I saw on the list originally. That I was like, how is he not?
Oh, really? That was the one. Jason Whitlock. And I'll tell you what. Initially, I had Dave Portnoy of Barstool on there. I've actually come around a little bit on him. I think the culture at Barstool's a lot better than it used to be. I'm not saying he's a great dude. He's still a disaster, and I do not like him.
Right.
But I couldn't in good sound in mind, like he's not worse than Jason Whitlock.
I agree.
And I won't get into why, but I think we all know why. Number four, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Look, there was a time where he was good. There was a time where I could respect the takes. He's an outstanding baseball historian. This game passed him up 20 years ago. And it's sad to see him not change with the times. And so the shtick is boring. The yelling, the takes are bad. It is what it is. And look, I'm sure there's plenty of people who are like, Abe, your takes are bad too. I get that. Mine aren't historically bad. Like there are guys on this list that have like historically bad takes.
Yeah.
Legendarily bad discussions. I don't have any of those. I might be wrong. I might have a take that's, boy, probably wish you didn't have said that. You sound stupid. But I haven't had any like all-time how could you ever have thought this conversations. At least not that I can recall.
You don't have anything that's going to be on a cold takes.
I might have something that is on freezing cold takes, but it's not like thank God we missed on Patrick Mahomes bad.
Yeah, true.
Number three, Skip Bayless. And just here's the thing with a lot of these guys. Because my number two, and I'll talk about him in a moment, is Stephen A. Smith. One of my biggest issues, and I don't know why personalities feel this way now. You are not the story, and you have never been the story. Stephen A., like, all right, let's just make it about Skip, because I'll get to Stephen A. in a second. Like, Skip Bayless, like, he thinks the story is him saying something, not what he's, and I just can't get behind that. And that's for all these guys. Like the premise of, here's what so-and-so said about blank. Like, I don't care if it's so-and-so or Johnny come lately. I might be interested in the take, but not just because this guy says it. And quite frankly, I don't believe that, and this is another like big pet peeve of mine, and you will not find me doing this. You will not, I guarantee you, you will not find me doing this. I will not come on the air here or anywhere else and say something I do not stand behind or do not believe that I don't think, again, I might be wrong, but at least I think I can defend this. I refuse to believe Skip Bayless believes everything he says. And a lot of that goes to this next guy, and we'll go ahead and get to him. Stephen A. Smith. Again, you are not the story. You are not the star. The sport, the take, the discussion is the star. And he thinks he's bigger than whatever he's discussing. I don't appreciate that. I think he makes things up just because he wants to stay relevant. But, like, the walking into NBA arenas like you're a player with the fashion photos, like, get over yourself, man. I also have a absolute personal disdain for Stephen A. Smith. I've had a couple of encounters with him, and I do not think he's a good person. And so I'll leave it at that. He's still a better person than number one on this list, though, and that's Clay Travis. You know, I've known Clay Travis for a long time. There was a time where Clay Travis was a legitimate, respected member of the college football media.
Yep.
And he told himself that he could be bigger in another lane, and he chose that lane. And I don't believe, again, I don't believe he believes half the stuff he says in that lane, but that's the lane he's in anyways. And so number one for me, my most disliked, least favorite sports media personalities would be Clay Travis.
That's just such a rough gig to have. I mean, granted, if you're getting paid well, it makes it easier. But, like, to have to go up there every day and, like, spew nonsense that you know you don't believe in has to be tough.
Yeah. And it's frustrating because he has to defend it in his personal life. That's the toughest part of it. It's you're being an actor, but it follows you off set. And that's the tough part about it. Is there anyone not on that list that you are shocked, dismayed, that maybe could have been in there? I know you mentioned the Whitlock thing. And there's a lot of guys. I mean, there's a lot of guys we could have considered. Right. Jim Rome and Cowherd, I get it, but they're not that bad.
Yeah.
They're really not that bad. Now, I do think Cowherd, again, says some stuff he doesn't believe. Jim Rome, I just lose a little bit of respect for because he doesn't write his own stuff half the time.
Canned arguments, basically.
Yeah, but he has writers that do his work. Yeah. And so a little bit there, but they were nowhere near up on this list as compared to the guys.
Yeah,
that are.
No. Like all those other guys, like I may.
By the way, RG3 almost made this list.
Really?
Because RG3's become insufferable. Sad thing is, if RG3 didn't have terrible sports takes, he would have been an outstanding game broadcaster. But he tried to do too much, and he tried to do takes, and he tried to be cute, and it's just like, dude, you're so good in the booth, just keep it in the booth.
Yeah.
And he tried to do too much, and again, he tried to make himself the story, and that doesn't rock with me.
Yeah.
But again, he's nowhere near as bad as Whitlock or Bayless. I mean, come on, what are we doing? All right. My top five places to find a significant other. Obviously, if I were better at dating, then I would have found a significant other. And that's where maybe my list falls apart because maybe I am looking at the wrong places. Maybe my top five is like, you idiot, how are you not looking here? Maybe you would have found someone. But here are my top five choices, and if you have a suggestion where I might be able to meet someone, holler at your boy. But here we go. Top five places to find a significant other. Number five, a kind of a combo answer, like the gym or a rec sports league, soccer league, a running group, like some sort of
physical activity,
athletic activity where there are co-eds involved. Hasn't worked out, but I feel like it's a good spot.
Hey, you just got.
I've actually heard a lot of people like getting it going with members from running groups.
See,
but not mine.
It's just not your turn yet. It's coming.
We're also like, I feel like my running group's kind of serious about running. I am like the worst runner in our running group too.
Really?
They're That's always like, fucking, yeah. Great job, Mr. Consistency. I'm like consistently slower than all y'all, man. I try though. I'm going to try and go hard on Monday for the Sizzler, and I do not have confidence. I drove that course the other day backwards because I was coming from Midtown, and it's kind of down Peachtree Street, but it starts I'm doing the 10K, so it starts near the Chamblee MARTA station, and it kind of runs towards Lenox, Phipps Flat. I know it's supposed to be a fast course, and I drove it. I'm like, yikes, man. It's a lot of rolling hills, but some of those are uphills. Some of them are down, but some of them are up. And I get weird on race day. Like, I can do some things on race day that I never do in training, so we'll see. But I've lost all confidence that I can go sub-50, so that's going to be a bummer. Number four, the DMs, man. Like, I think DMs, like, I know, like, obviously for the gal who probably doesn't want everyone sliding into the DMs, I get it.
Yeah.
I have actually never slid into someone's DMs, like, certainly... not for this purpose, at least. Like, I've never tried to, like, holler at or hit on someone through DMs. And then, like, likewise, I don't think anyone's tried to holler or hit on me through DMs. Not like a real person. The bots. But, like, the bots, maybe. But I'm smart enough to tell which one's a bot and which one's real. I think the DMs. And I mentioned that earlier. Like, I do think I've had a couples of friends that have met their significant other on social media, either in the DMs or just in replies. So
I would say DMs are it's a low success rate, but it does happen. I feel like the majority of the DMs are probably filth, but
I also feel like it's probably better if it comes the opposite way, like the female to the male, especially like in this role, like because we're reaching out to a sports based audience. It can start as a sports-based discussion, and you never know.
Absolutely.
So that's number four. Number three, because I'm old school, the bar or club, like, I get dressed. Anytime I go out drinking, like, I'll put on, like, a decent shirt, some jeans, like, a nice button-up. Yeah, like,
something
you
nice
just, on. I can just go to a sports bar. I go to the Bird in Doney. I go to my sports bar. But, like... I'll still dress up decently nice. Like, you just never know who you're going to meet on a night out.
Yeah.
Again, still single. Hasn't happened. But, like, you never know. Number two, I guess, dating apps. You know,
again,
I'm on a couple. Yeah. Again, still hasn't happened.
Rate. Yeah.
I guess. I know a lot of people that more recently that have met their people, their people on dating apps. Now, I don't do the hookup apps. I'm doing relationship apps. And I know that's part of my problem. Like, I'm not on Tinder.
But
yeah, you got that. And then number one. Number one, which I stopped taking advantage of, the dog park. Dog park.
Great answer. Great answer.
That's number one. There were always, cute females at the dog park in D.C., Cleveland, L.A., and the one I went to in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And never happened.
And the dog.
And now I don't go any. Well, and you're dealing with a dog. Also, my dog's beautiful, so, like, that helps.
Great wingman.
But now she just gets in fights at dog parks, so we had to stop going to dog parks. I'm like, sorry, man. Like, yeah. Your dog tried to hump mine, and she's not putting up with that. She did tear your dog's face off. Sorry about that. But, hey, your dog's not going to hump her again, is she? Didn't think so. I'm over-exaggerating. My dog is very controlled with her corrections. But no, I'm serious. She's an alpha, and she will correct. But she only drives the point home as much as needed.
Yeah.
The dog will learn. Figure it out. But, yeah, she started sleeping in the dog park. Like, we go to the dog park, and she just, like, falls asleep.
Just lays out.
And I'm like, not, like, lays down, like, falls asleep.
Hmm.
And then she gets mad when a dog comes up to her. Like, all right, well, you can't do that, man. That one's on you. The dog is humping you. Like, that's on them. This one's on you. This one's on you. So, there we go. All right, I need two new topics here, Dom. Oren promised me you'd have some good ones, and I don't know if he spoke to you about it or what, but...
He probably just had really good faith in me, which probably isn't the
We'll see
idea.
If it's repaid. We'll see. What do you got for my sports topic?
So, obviously, the sports topic that I wanted to see, obviously, Georgia Tech gets the upset win over Florida State. We're all excited about that. I wanted to see you do your top five college football upsets in your lifetime. And it doesn't have to be the biggest upset, like they came back from down 40 or whatever. Or, this team had no shot.
Yeah.
Just your favorites, your favorite upsets.
Yeah, okay. I can do that.
Like, for me, I can already tell you, like, because I'm a Georgia State alum, Georgia State going into Tennessee and winning in Rocky Top.
Awesome. That was not going to be one of them, but okay.
That's probably number one on my list. And for our non-sports topic, I was re-watching The Hangover, like, movies in, like, the entire series, like, 1, 2, and 3. And it got me thinking, like... about good comedy movie franchises where, like, not like it was just a one-off, but, like, it was, like, multiple movies that were all good.
Okay.
So, give me your top five comedy movie franchises.
Comedy franchises. Okay. We're going to roll through this in the break. I'm going to come in and talk to you. We'll get that done. But when we come back, we're going to go outside the perimeter of the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about some of the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. We'll keep a Braves update coming your way as well. We also got a lot more Falcons talk coming in this hour. What cuts did they make? What were the surprises? And who could they add that other teams are no longer holding on to? We'll get into all that at 920 as well. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here till 10 o'clock on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.